Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. A short Bible study every single day, about 13, 14 minutes, but it keeps us in God's Word, and since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, being in God's Word every day, even for this short time, is important for our faith, the development, the strengthening, and the staying strong. We encourage you to share these studies always with everybody you can, because you know people who need to grow in their faith in God and in Jesus Christ. So share these studies with them through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. You may even help somebody turn their life around and even get to heaven. What a great blessing for them and for you. Start sharing today with everybody you can. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. We're asking the question, what makes a nation great? Well, if you ask that to probably 20 people, you'd get a whole lot of different answers. Now, some people would combine two or three, or maybe even more, factors that they would consider that would kind of work together to make a nation great. You'd probably have some people say one thing, maybe two things, and that's it. That's what makes a nation great. That would be what would spring into their mind. And there would be some contradictions, and some people would say some things that other people would not even consider as to what makes a nation truly great. Well, we've talked about our nation because this is where we live, and I've emphasized we can always point fingers at other nations, other countries around the world, other cultures, and we can find fault. Well, they can do the same thing, pointing fingers at us. But this is where we live. And so this is where we really need to be first and foremost concerned. Are we a great nation? I think if you look through the history of the United States, you would find that we would consider, and probably a great deal of the world's population would consider, the United States of America to be a great nation as you look at that particular question through history. But now, let's look at where we're at now. Are we a great nation? Have things changed in our nation? Have things changed in our culture, in our society, in our values? I think we would have to say overwhelmingly, absolutely, there have been many changes. And some would say, well, some of those changes have been for the better. For example, we'd done away with slavery in our nation. And that was a very important step and a very admirable step to take. But there have been a lot of other changes that have gone in the other direction. They have been negative changes. And in some cases, they have tarnished the image of our nation here in our own country, but also from the perspective of many people around the world. We need to stop and ask ourselves, are we still a great nation? Now, some people would question, probably, and there are a great many critics within our own nation of our nation. Some people would say, we've never been a great nation, probably. But I think we can look at it, and if we look at it in a general, from a general perspective, we can say, no, America has been a great nation. Are we still a great nation? Now, some cases can be made for, yes, we're still a great nation from some perspectives. But as we've been looking at this, asking the question, what makes America great? Well, we could say our size, but we're not the biggest nation in the world. We could say our military might, and that's probably where a whole lot of people would really focus immediately. But a great many nations, a great many kingdoms, a great many empires have come and gone through history who were mighty, incredibly mighty militarily. But now they're just, they're just a reference in the history books. They're no longer anything like what you would call a great, mighty military nation. Well, some people would say our economy is what really, if you really want to think about it, that might be what they would zero in on first and say, we have such a strong economy. Well, economies go up and they go down. And again, there have been economies in other countries in the world who had strong economies that are no longer necessarily so. And we see our economy fluctuate on a continual basis. probably not very many, if any, who are alive during the Great Depression. But you talk about a catastrophic economical collapse. You think that could not happen again? Now, I know the government has put into place safeguards, but safeguards can always fail themselves. So we need to ask ourselves, are we a great nation? What would be the basis for that greatness or that image of being, that identity as being a great nation? Well, let me zero in here. A nation cannot be great ultimately and profoundly if they do not believe in God and strive at least to the best of their understanding, or at least to a reasonable degree of their understanding, to walk with God, to live by His teachings. Our nation is doing that. That characterization of our nation is diminishing more and more. Again, I just heard a recent survey that was published, or at least publicized, and it asked the question, and I believe it focused only on our country, the population of our country. Do you go to the Bible for guidance on a regular basis? And the answer to that particular question within that survey came out to be 30-some percent only. 30-some percent. And apparently, that number has been going down steadily. Well, where will it be next time the survey is taken? Will it be in the low 30s? Will it be in the upper 20s? What's going to happen if it continues to decline and goes down to where only 18 or 19% of the people would say, yeah, I go to the Bible. I consider that my basic guidebook for morality, for righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 34. We've used that as something of a base text, kind of a springboard for this study. Could we say right now that we are a righteous nation? Now, some people would shout, yes, because of certain positions that our culture has taken, that they really are champions of those positions. But are they necessarily really righteous according to God's word? And if you're only focusing upon one or two or three or four tenets of what you would consider to be righteousness, what about all the other factors that need to be included in that analysis? Are we a righteous nation? From a general perspective, I would suggest to you that we are going farther, far, farther and farther and farther into unrighteousness. Now, so it's not just physical characteristics, it's not just military power, it's not just economic strength, and you can name some others that would fit into that general, under that general umbrella of trying to determine if we're a great nation. It's a whole lot more than that. Where are we in our heart? Where are we in our soul as a nation? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Again, Proverbs 14 and verse 34. God is. It does not matter how many people deny God, how many people disbelieve in God, how loudly they shout and how long they shout. God is, and God is the creator. And when we look through the scriptures and then we compare historical comparisons, we see that the Bible is accurate to an incredible depth. In fact, we would not find any doctrinal contradictions within the scriptures. God created the world. And anyone who would look at the creation, this world, life in this world, human physical life in human beings, a moral compass that God has instilled with us that we call our conscience, the interconnections and interworkings of the universe around us, and say all of that could have just happened on its own. All of that could have just been an accident of nature. That kind of reasoning is not only absurd, it is scientifically absurd. And more who are disciplined in the disciplines of science are coming to recognize that reality, that fact. God, Daniel 2 and verse 21, God has removed kings and God has set up kings. God has raised up nations also, and God has brought down nations. Now, here's a key quality for determining the greatness of any nation. And it doesn't have to be a great, big, spanning, geographic nation as we're used to in our country, or as some other peoples are used to in their countries. But we're talking about quality. We're talking about character. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul wrote, "O Timothy, guard what has been committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings," or empty chatter, "and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen." A whole lot of people think they are too intellectual. They are too smart, too knowledgeable, too sophisticated in their knowledge to believe, maybe going all the way to believing in God. They say, "No, that's just mythology. That's fairy tales." But even if they would say, "Well, yeah, I believe in God, or I believe in some power out there," they might not name that power God. But the idea that Genesis chapter 1 factually covers the creation of everything we see around us, including the world in which we live and physical life and existence on this world and the atmosphere around us and all of that, sustaining life, that is fanciful. That is mythology, or that is just stories men have written down. Well, again, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Interesting statement, isn't it? In Psalm 14 and verse 1, to look at the creation and deny that there had to have been an overseeing creative power, and not just our nation, not just our country, not just this world, but the universe, and deny that there is not design within what we look around us and what we live in all the time on a daily basis, that's scientific absurdity. And I mean that, and I've studied this a great deal, and I've looked at it from a rational and logical perspective, an analytical perspective. Design does not happen by accident. Design has, it requires, it recognizes the presence of a designer behind the design. And so we need to understand that. We need to accept it, embrace it. Well, let's think a little bit more. Righteousness brings blessings. And so Paul was talking there. Some people, they just get so carried away with how smart they think they are, what they think they know, when they really have not studied it carefully and thoroughly. And they just spout off things. And Paul says there to Timothy, avoid the profane and idle babblings that contradict what is falsely called knowledge. How many times through history have the supposed thinkers and movers of nations and cultures have to ultimately recognize and admit, yeah, we were really wrong about that? It's happened over and over and over again. Well, I want us to dig deeper on this particular perspective, into this particular perspective about righteousness brings blessings. And then ask ourselves, are we truly a righteous nation from a broad-based perspective? What makes a nation great? Let's pray. Father, help us to be the people you want us to be individually, and help us to be the nation that you want us to be as a nation. Guide us in this, and help us to recognize that your will as being the true way, and to embrace it and obey it and live by it. Please forgive us. Please hear our prayer, gracious Father. In Jesus' name, amen.